Welcome one and all to Indictment Day here at the Damage Report. It's also Friday, but that seems secondary for some reason. I'm John Arola. Brett Ehrlich is here. Brett, how is it going?
I'm just so happy to be here with you, John, because I don't know if everybody knows this, but John's in an excellent mood today. He's just raring to go. He doesn't need the week to be over 10 minutes ago. He's doing just fine.
I want to be very clear. I am not in a bad mood. I've had days where I have to launch into the show in a bad mood. I'm not. I'm in an overwhelmed mood, and that is a different thing. I'm not in a bad mood. I'm not mad at you yet. Show's just begun. But anyway, we're going to see what happens. There's a lot going on.
In these situations, you need daddy's whelm juice. This will, it's Italian. It's very low alcohol. It's whelm juice. It tastes like a birthday cake.
Okay, that sounds pretty good.
There you go.
You should all know that when my birthday happened a couple of months ago, Brett and his wife gave me a box of everything flavored like birthday cake until eventually I was flavored like birthday cake. In any event, thank you, Brett. We're going to have a great show because there is so much going on out there. Did you all hear? This is crazy news. I don't think this has ever happened before, but the president has been indicted. So we're going to talk about that and then give you people's reactions. Aside from that, let's see what's positive. We have the Democrats taking the offense a little bit, or I guess the offensive defense when it comes to the anti-trans war that the right has been waging across the country. So that's good news. We're going to be delving into a little bit of backpedaling going on at Twitter on some of the coming changes to the verification program. And we will be talking a little bit about AI later on, which will put me in an even more overwhelmed, anxious mood. And then we've got our garbage people of the week. I've got a good one. I've been waiting for someone to say the thing that this person said. I knew somebody was gonna say it, and I was just waiting to see which was gonna be the first one to say it. And we got him right before the show went live. So that'll be coming up in just a little bit. But in anticipation of all that, everyone, I'm gonna need you to do a couple of things. First of all, easiest of all, hit the like button. Maybe share the stream as well so that people know we're live. And if you have not already voted in our Community Garbage Person of the Week poll, it's time to do it. You can head over to the Community tab on our YouTube page and vote there. And along the way, you can also send us comments, tweets, super chats, all that. We'll respond as we go. And you might even get a Blue Apron gift card. And let me just tell you, my wife and I made a ramen dish from Blue Apron last night, and it was delicious. By the way, I don't get my Blue Apron for free through TYT or anything. I pay for it. It's just good food, and my wife and I like cooking together. So anyway, with all that said and much more yet to be said, Brett, are you ready to do this thing?
Let's do it, champer damper.
Okay, now in the back of my mind, I'm gonna be working through that. Okay. Let's jump into this thing. At long last, it has happened as predicted by Donald Trump just a couple of weeks ago, and looking like it wasn't gonna happen for some time. Donald Trump is facing literally dozens of indictments, although we don't have all the information just yet. I wanna show you what we've, I think, all been waiting to happen for a long time. Take a look at this front page of the New York Times, Trump indicted. And what I love about it is that it's not specific. I mean, once you go down to like the smaller text, they do mention that it's about the hush money payments that were paid to Stormy Daniels, which one man, Michael Cohen, has already spent years in prison for. But we all sort of knew on some level that we were working towards that headline, right? We didn't know if it was going to be for the perfect phone call with Ukraine or Fulton County or January 6th or God knows what else, but we knew it was coming. And now we're waiting for the next big step, which is apparently going to happen relatively early Eastern time next Tuesday. Donald Trump is apparently going to surrender. He apparently was ready to do it today, but they weren't ready for him. And anyway, he's going to be processed. He'll be fingerprinted. There will probably be a mugshot at that point. Our graphics team will no longer have to be producing our own, although we have enjoyed that process quite a bit. The charges will be presented against Donald Trump at that point, the 34 different indictments that the grand jury has put forward. And at that point, he could enter a plea, although his legal team, at least so far, is saying that that will not happen because there's no crime. Brett, what do you think? Were you shocked when it came down the Twitter pike?
If there is a whiff of Trump going to jail, prison, then they will do a plea deal because they can justify anything. accept Trump going into a federal prison or a, you know, a state prison facility or wherever the hell he'd end up. They would want to avoid that for two reasons. One, the optics of it, and two, just he'd be terrified and sad and in danger, theoretically, in prison. Not that he would, you know, really encounter the full brunt of federal prison. But it is, am I happy that he was indicted over this? I don't care. I can't care until they actually tell me what the indictment was for. Now, if the indictment was for something that other people have actually served prison time for, then I'll say, well, two things. One, this wasn't politically motivated, because when Michael Cohen went to prison, he went to prison under a Donald Trump Department of Justice, and Donald Trump's own Department of Justice has therefore declared that this is a crime you should go to jail for. And then I would just love to sit back and watch them try to justify why he shouldn't go to jail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I appreciate the consistency. You had largely had this sort of position, I think it was last Friday. And as I've said, as many of our guests over the last 2 weeks have said, if it were up to us, the thing that he'd be indicted for, amongst the sampler platter of crimes that he's clearly committed, we would have probably chosen a different one. Potentially, probably something having to do with trying to manipulate the election in Georgia, or the fake elector scheme, or maybe something having to do with launching a violent coup attempt. It'd be those sorts of things. But of course, as with everything else in American politics, it is not up to me. It's not up to us. So this is what we've got. I too await hearing what is in those 34. 34 seems like a lot. It feels like that can cover a lot of ground. We don't know if any of the specific charges will be the same as what Michael Cohen went to prison for. But it is interesting that, like, someone has already spent time in prison for this. So clearly there's something illegal going on. The question will be, will he go down for the same? Because after all, his actions were not the same actions as Michael Cohen. Michael Cohen did the direct criming, but he did it at the direction of Donald Trump.
And that proves that wanting to crime and signing on to a crime are things that Donald Trump has, according to precedent, previous trials, he has done, or previous legal proceedings, he has done that. He is on record of having done that. It's just an argument by Republicans that either A, once you've become president, you're above the law, which good luck with that. None of them have ever said that, as they're chanting things like lock her up, or basically saying that, you know, no one's above the law. Or two, that he's just so good at putting other people between him and the direct action of crime that we should let him get away with it. Yeah. In what world? In a world where they say that Soros is masterminding a giant communist world move, like, they want him to be locked up. They want Bill Gates to be locked up. In what world do you not want masterminds to be locked up? That's a double standard. And that means that as these people are crying that justice is done in America, they're also arguing that they don't want justice in America. Yeah. They want to pull the blindfold off, and they want Lady Justice, who's holding the scales, to look at everybody's bank account and resume before deciding whether they should prosecute. And that is BS. That shouldn't be the case.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, we're going to get into the inconsistency a little bit later on when we give the responses. But the fact that they continually ping pong between literally any charges, anything about any allegations, are unacceptable against Donald Trump. It's just political. Also, every member of the Biden family should be immediately locked up, including Biden and also Hillary Clinton. Like, there's no principle there, or certainly not an explicitly stated principle. There is a principle that there are people should get away with crimes and the people they hate shouldn't. Whereas our principle, I think, I don't want to speak for you, is if you've broken the law, you should suffer the consequences regardless of what party you're a part of.
Yeah. I'm with you. And it's also the Republicans have indicted a president before. He was just in office, essentially, when they impeached Bill Clinton. Like, they went after it for what, covering up a sex act?
Well, how is that relevant to Donald Trump being indicted for covering up a sex act? So anyway, stupid. Yeah, again, like, man, if this is your first day at the damage report, first of all, welcome. subscribe. If this is your first day following American politics, let me just say that if you have come here looking for consistency, then you've come to the wrong place, because all we've got on offer is hypocrisy, unfortunately. Okay, that said, while we're gonna get to most of the responses later on, it is only fair that we, as a serious journalistic outlet, give you the response of the man being targeted in this particular way. So Donald Trump did not waste much time before responding to the indictments that came his way late last night, bleeding out, "These thugs and radical left monsters have just indicated the 45th president of the United States of America and the leading Republican candidate by far for the 2024 nomination for president. This is an attack on our country, the likes of which has never been seen before. It is likewise a continuing attack on our once free and fair elections. The USA is now a third world nation, a nation in serious decline. So sad." So again, this is the guy who led the chants of "lock her up." He thought that arresting a presidential candidate was perfectly acceptable, not third worldy at all. But when it's at him, it's not acceptable. No indications allowed. By the way, while he has not done his like calls for protest and chaos and warning of death and destruction since the indications, as he did earlier, he did follow up that earlier tweet with a tweet about the judge who apparently has been chosen to preside over his case, saying the judge assigned to my witch hunt. I don't know why "signed" is in those. He was assigned. That's literally what happened. A case that has never been charged before hates me. His name is Juan Manuel Marchand, was handpicked by Bragg and the prosecutors and blah, 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 blah. Anyway, says he hates me. He's vicious, appealing, and he can appeal. And I'm not saying this is not as direct a, I think, an implication of violence as like the picture of him with the baseball bat and Bragg's head. But like, you immediately start demonizing the judge. Come on. I don't know why there is not yet some sort of social media gag order on Donald Trump. He has continually been whipping his base into a frenzy, generally with misinformation, specifically about the case, about the grand jury, about Alvin Bragg, now about the judge. He's trying to get people who know nothing about this judge to despise this person. That we know what direction that's going in. Why has there not been a gag order placed on him yet? They already, in a separate case in the upcoming rape trial, they decided that the jury would have to be anonymous because the threats against them would be too constant, too dangerous. So I just don't know why he's still able to socially post about this. But what do you think?
I think my 10,000 foot view of it is not Alvin Bragg who is the one impugning or destroying the justice system. The only people I hear who are yelling about the American justice system being a problem are the Republicans. That this is Trump systematically attempting to dismantle your faith in the institution. The institution itself is going through all the proper channels. A grand jury is a group of people you argue you care your case for. It's like a jury, and they look at the facts and they have to answer. The vote they had was, is there enough that you could at least indict the guy and then proceed to see if there's a settlement or a trial or anything else? So the Democrats, as they're saying, are going through the proper channels of justice. The Republicans are the ones saying that those proper channels of justice are corrupt and shouldn't be the way we do things in America. And this is the same group that said the way we should do things in America is to undo the election process in America. Mm-hmm. So their consistent argument on the right is that America sucks, is that America's institutions suck, is that justice, voting, elections, as outlined by the founders of this country, suck, and we need to get rid of it. At the same time, the people on the left are staying true to those very processes. What do you want them to do besides that?
Let them go. But that would be my prediction. We're gonna get to our predictions in just a sec. Really fast. I just want to add one more bleat. This is the middle of the night. Mm-hmm. Where's Hunter? What do you think he can't help you?
No, Trump just needed a crack fix. So he was calling his dealer.
I need something. Yeah, it's just weird. But anyway, I want to balance the scales because obviously he's the party that's being targeted in this. But the I think truly aggrieved party is obviously the woman who formed the beginning of this legal process, Stormy Daniels, who responded in a number of posts, some of which I can't show on screen, but says, "Thank you to everyone for your support and love. I have so many messages coming in that I can't respond. Also, don't want to spill my champagne." Yeah, I mean, look, after years now and after incredibly vicious insults on a constant basis from Donald Trump against her, whether you agree with the case or not, whether you think it's likely that he'll actually spend any time in jail, and I am not inclined to think so, it must feel at least something like the beginning of justice for Stormy Daniels to have actually had the first ever indictment for a current or former president. So, you know, I'm not gonna take that from her. But I do want to also add, what?
I'm like not huge team Stormy here. She had sex with Donald Trump.
Yeah,
I don't, like, I mean, I don't love that either. Tweet, she's like, I'm sure she merch and autograph orders are pouring in too. Thank you for that as well, but allow a few extra days for shipment. Also, she took the money. Like,
yes, yes. Okay. All of that is true. That is well noted. But while that's what the two sides are saying publicly, I'm far more interested in what's going on behind the scenes. And I think a lot more of this is going to come out over the weekend. But for now, apparently, behind the scenes back at Mar-a-Lago, Mr. Trump was angry, but mainly focused on the political implications of the charges, not the legal consequences, according to people familiar with, for him, what passes for thinking. He seemed eager to project confidence and calm and was seen having a very public dinner with his wife Melania and her parents. And I'm sure that was just the best dinner ever. Not tense at all, totally just cool, light conversation, keeping it cash. Anyway, at times, Mr. Trump has apparently appeared significantly disconnected from the severity of his potential legal woes. Again, we might disagree about how severe those potential legal woes are. I'm not a lawyer. At the same time, a large group of Trump Organization former employees were quietly cheering the latest developments via text messages to Maggie Haberman, apparently. On the other side, though, many are angry. And when I say many, at least 20 Trump supporters gathered outside of Mar-a-Lago in a show of solidarity. And like, this is not the end of the protest. They want to protest on Tuesday, as we'll get to. But wouldn't you expect that on the night when the indictment comes down, he'd be able to manage more than 20 protesters? That does not seem like a very strong response. Am I being unfair, Brett? What do you think?
It was a shock. It was a surprise. I'm just saying that in previous instances where other causes have had larger turnouts, and those causes were things people did not see coming. They've been able to muster a large
turnout.
For example, flash mobs in the early 2000s were larger. Like this is, and I don't know, man. It's so shocking because they're when asked in a poll whether they'd like DeSantis or Trump, way more people want Trump. But I just don't know. I don't know. They don't show up en masse. I guess they don't know where they're supposed to show up. And if they were to show up, it would be in New York, where there aren't that many of them relative to the true, like, full MAGA population. Like, if Asa Hutchinson indicted Trump, maybe they'd have a larger turnout in Arkansas. But I just don't see a lot of people being like, all right, yeah, let's head out to wherever we're supposed to be right now for it.
Okay. So maybe we'll see on Tuesday. For now, though, I just want to briefly touch base with one of the most common sort of talking points about this, which has to do with the implications. No sooner had the indictments been announced against Donald Trump, but virtually every right winger like ran to the closest microphone or camera to say, "This is only gonna make him stronger. It's gonna help him. This is like a donation to his reelection campaign. We're happy actually that the guy that we support, who secretly we hate, but are forced to support because otherwise we'd have no career, is being investigated for multiple crimes and is soon gonna be charged. We're happy about it, really." But that does not mean that they're not right, I guess. America is hell. Our politics are fundamentally broken. So when they say it'll help him in the election, They're not often very specific about what phase of the election they mean. So I think it's fair for us to potentially differentiate between what effect it might have on the primary, especially the early part of the primary where Ron DeSantis, who's supposed to be his strongest opposition, but thus far has been apparently flaming out, hasn't even announced, versus the full Republican primary and then the general election. It can have very different effects on those two things. So Brett, I am curious from your point of view, is this a massive benefit to him? Is this gonna be the boost that they want you to believe that it will be?
All this does is give a email subject for a fundraiser. And he will get a bump in fundraising for it. It also gets his name in the news again. And for MAGA folk, that is great. But for the independents out there who are polling hugely against Trump, and for anyone who wouldn't even, who might be registered as a Republican and hasn't really grown to fully embrace Trump, the further he gets from like actually winning anything, and the longer he's been out of the White House and nothing has really disintegrated, and Democrats for sure, they're just tired of it. This is another Trump fatiguer that will make remind people, and I've said this for a while, this will remind people that Trump's just a lot to deal with. And they're gonna be able to potentially add the word convict Donald Trump explicitly. Yeah. Now, for years, we've been able to say, all right, his organization is stealing from children. There's very obvious embezzlement. They've been banned from doing business in certain places with certain charities because he's so shady and everybody knows it. But this will just be another thing, a more recent thing to say, actually, my guy got convicted and I just don't see that helping. And I think the fog of this and the dirt from this and the fatigue of it all will just wear on the public to the point where it's not gonna help Trump at all whatsoever. And it's distance enough from Joe Biden that I don't think his hands are dirty at all.
Yeah, they're trying to make that connection. Laura Ingraham was saying it's on him, not because he did anything, but because he didn't not do anything. He should have stopped it. Well, again, like there are often very different expectations put on Democratic politicians than Republican politicians, but I think that's the craziest version of it. While the Republicans are investigating Joe Biden and his family, Joe Biden is supposed to go to potentially extra constitutional means to stop a state level investigation of the guy that still refuses to admit that he won the election. Like, okay.
Like he can't, but what a baller move if he did stop it.
Yeah.
What a baller move if Joe Biden shows up and is like,
no,
stop it. I don't need this. No, obviously he did that, but I think America, we're above it. And then Donald Trump has to, the same way Donald Trump is saying that DeSantis showed up on his knees to ask for an endorsement, Joe Biden gets to say, I freed Trump. He needs me or else he'd be in jail.
Maybe. Yeah. And he can say that he doesn't want anything to stand between him beating Trump again. And he can do it while like bouncing around in that old timey boxing way.
This one, my grandma always used to do this with like thumbing her nose. I have no idea what that was, but she was like, let's fight.
That is an image. Duchess of Queensberry rules and all that. Anyway, look, I think the weirdest thing for, I think it could potentially help him in the Republican primary, I think. But I don't know at this point if he really needs the help. But for me, the weirdest element of this is, has there ever been a time when you're in a primary and you want to take down the other guy and the other guy is embroiled in multiple major scandals of a variety of different types and is now facing literal indictments? And you can't attack him because that would hurt you more.
Yeah.
If you were to point out that, hey, maybe it would be better if we didn't have a criminal as our nominee, you'd look like the bad one. That's so weird.
He did flip-flop. DeSantis did flip-flop and said he's not going to aid in extradition today.
He did. He did.
So that is,
he's constitutionally required to, yes.
Yeah, yeah. He is, that fight, that dog won't hunt. Because he has already put himself into such a fundamentally politician-y position where he's overanalyzing and thinking and then thinking he's got like the perfectly worded position on whether to extradite that people read and go like, I have no idea what you're saying. let alone what your position is. And then to flip flop on that and say, yes, Trump is my daddy.
That's a gesture of strength. And he also did it on the situation in Ukraine. Like he had to massively backtrack on that. Like this guy is a meatball. That's what he is. He just does not have the juice.
His meat rob. His little meat rob.
Oh my God, I did not think we'd be getting that today. Anybody get that?
Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
I know what it is.
So everyone knows.
We gotta get a meat wad emoji. Are we allowed to? Would we get sued for a meat wad emoji?
I don't know. That'd be good to have in the papers.
Definitely. Okay, everyone. We're gonna take our first break. We come back. We've given you our responses, but now let's see how the right wing is dealing with all this. We'll be right back. This is such the craziest day. I've been trying to figure out what Cenk's take is gonna be on the main show, because I'll be leading the first hour of the power panel. I wonder if he's gonna be more of like your energy or more of the audience's energy. Is he gonna play the "we got him" and all that? We'll see. We'll see. Anyway, if you're just joining us now, please hit the like button. Let everyone know that the stream is live, and we're gonna jump into more fun starting with this.
We have just gotten word former President Donald Trump has been indicted by a grand jury in New York. Trump was under investigation by the DA's office for his alleged hush money payment to adult film star Stormy Daniels during the 2016 campaign.
It's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. Country's not going to stand for it. And people better be careful. I don't like the looks of this thing. How is it even a misdemeanor? I never went to law school.
I love that ending. So that was the initial coverage of this historic event, the 34 indictments being announced, if not yet detailed. You heard a gasp. I don't know if it was from the camera person, from a producer, but someone was like, dear God. Okay, calm down. We've known for 2 weeks that this might be coming, at least. You can't be that freaked out, which is also why I'll say, I don't know who that first anchor is, but her response was perfectly fine. She was giving people the information they need to know. But Jesse Waters just happened to be on set at that moment. And despite weeks now of like time for preparation to come up with what you're gonna say, he just didn't seem to particularly care. Like, and it leads me to wonder if I don't think much has come out from him when it comes to the Dominion lawsuits, but is he another one of these guys that despises Trump, wants to move on, but now he's like, I gotta pretend to care about this. I gotta pretend to be grieved about this. Is this even a misdemeanor? I don't know. They should be careful. It just seems so disinterested. What do you think, Brad?
I think it's amazing that moment from Jesse Waters where he says, how's it a misdemeanor? I never went to law school. What are you doing on television? What is your job? Mm-hmm. And the utter laziness of Jesse Waters. Listen, I do that gig. I do that gig all the time where I'm like the silly guy who shows up. But you also have to know what you're talking about. You had so much time to learn about the possible implications of this, what the indictment might be. And not only that, you have a whole team of producers. But the fact is that Fox News has done such a good job over the decades of having Jesse Waters as their weirdo errand boy to make it so that you don't have to do anything on Fox News, but just show up, repeat some lazy ass Twitter take, pretend it's yours, and your entire audience will be like, yes, I too hate whatever we hate today.
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, like maybe he went more in depth. It's entirely possible. But like we all understand why some components of this are misdemeanors. That's not even the interesting part of this. They could have gone for just the misdemeanors. The interesting thing, Jesse Waters, is that they're not doing that. The novel legal theory is combining this with a component that has to do with attempting to evade campaign finance regulations that then would elevate it to a felony. That's the interesting part. That's the part that the grand jury is looking into, not just misdemeanors. So not only does he not have anything interesting or insightful to say about the actual issue we're talking about, he doesn't even seem to be aware of what that is.
And there's more for everyone. That video was taken also from TYT Investigates. Go to youtube.com/TYT Investigates Reports or just search TYT Investigates, because it is like three straight minutes of them melting down over this, and it's fantastic.
100%. And you're gonna obviously get a lot of that over the next few weeks. Don't worry about that. So a great mashup there by Josh. Okay, that said, some of the individual responses, though, I think are even more fun. And they get into some of what Brett was talking about earlier in the show about how this is immediately gonna be turned into a money-making opportunity. Let's launch directly into this.
How do you do it? You take if you got a pile of crap and you chop it up 34 times, it's still a pile of crap. It's duplicitous charging. They're trying to smear the guy. They're trying to take cases that nobody else would take and resurrect them. This is literally legal voodoo.
He seems really mad about this. He's doing a way better job, Lindsey Graham, of selling the emotion of how dare they can hurt this good man than anyone else would. I don't know if he's speculating about what effect it would have if you were to chop up a piece of crap, or if this is an actual case study.
Oh, 100%. My name's Lindsey Graham. I got bored one day in South Carolina, not much to do, so I need to pile up a crap. My bunch cut it with a knife, then I smeared it. I smeared it all over the president. That's what we do today in South Carolina.
Anyway, he said, I don't know what word he said. It sounded like he combined that it's duplicitous and duplicative. Like, is he combining those two things?
I think it's suspicious.
It's also suspicious.
It's suspiciously duplicitous.
At the same time.
It's duplicitous.
But anyway, maybe we're being unfair. He does expand on his legal theory in this next video.
They tried to destroy Kavanaugh because they wanted to keep the Supreme Court seat open. They're trying to destroy Donald Trump because they fear him at the ballot box. To the conservatives out there, make sure you vote. If you got friends, make sure they vote. If you don't have any friends, go make some friends. But you need to help this man, Donald J. Trump. They're trying to drain him dry. He spent more money on lawyers than most people spend on campaigns. They're trying to bleed him dry. DonaldJTrump.com. Go tonight. Give the president some money to fight this. This is going to destroy America. Trump wins in court and he wins the election. That's how this wins. Ends.
Oh, you should have left the awkward couple of seconds after that, because he really thought that he sold that thing. And Sean Hannity's just like, what? Oh, you're done? Okay. Anyway, yeah, no, he wins in court. He wins the election. Maybe he'll even win the popular vote for the first time, literally ever. So weird strategy from Lindsey Graham to like be begging people to give money to a billionaire who can afford all of these expenses, to then point out that he spends more on legal fees than other people do on campaigns, maybe get you a candidate who doesn't have to do that. But then to also point out, you guys probably don't have any friends. Go make a friend, go talk to someone so that they can give this billionaire money. Thanks, Lindsey Graham.
Yeah, 100%. And then also he's like, he spends more on legal fees than anybody running a campaign. No, he doesn't. When was the last time he paid his lawyer? Just ask Rudy Giuliani if he pays his lawyers. He does not. And raise money for Donald Trump? Yeah, he's a billionaire, kind of, I guess. But on the other hand, my guy is using that money to pay hush money to porn stars. For the moral majority that people like Lindsey Graham profess to represent.
Yeah.
And then, oh, he's taking up all these cases that no one else will take up. Where else do you think they're supposed to prosecute that? But where Donald Trump is from, because I hate to break it to all of America, billionaire Donald Trump is a New York City Ivy League elitist who is just lying to you so he can pass tax, so A, he can just make more money in general, raise his clout, and then pass tax reform that isn't actually reform, but rather just ways to put money in his and other rich people's pockets at your expense. That's the game. Defect.
Yeah. JYPZ Rock says, don't do the crime if you can't spend the dime. Yeah,
it's so funny.
A good strategy. And also, can we like just catch up on, you know, like where we've come? So you had Lindsey Graham with an impassioned plea years ago to the Republican Party. If we elect this man, he'll destroy the Republican Party. He has since done that. Lindsey Graham was proven to be right. But Lindsey Graham now is saying, if he is indicted for the crimes he clearly committed after losing an election and trying to overthrow the election, then America will be destroyed. Like, you had it on the first try. Don't second guess yourself, Lindsey Graham.
Yeah. And I just, you know, if I want to give the benefit of the doubt to MAGA Republicans, I would say hopefully they just consider, you know, Lindsey Graham as a notch in their bedpost, so to speak, or like a trophy on their shelf, Lindsey Graham.
I just love it. It's Lindsey Graham.
I'm Lindsey Graham. Like, I'm a little grumper.
As a trophy on their wall, because they got him to be in this position where he's crying tears to protect their lord. And yeah. The last thing I'll say on this is that Lindsey Graham says that the Democrats fear Donald Trump at the ballot box. Why would they? They already beat him.
Yeah, in two popular votes and in the Electoral College the last time. And I'll just finally say, as a person, you have to, like, this job is easy in a lot of ways, obviously. You know, it ain't manual labor, but sometimes you deal with some emotionally difficult stuff. I've teared up on the show before. I don't remember the last time it happened, but it has happened. Like, the idea that you would show emotion because Donald Trump is facing, like, you know, he did it, Lindsey Graham, and everyone watching you knows he had the affair. You know, they did the hush money payments. You know, they did it so that people wouldn't learn about what Trump had done before an election. We can find out together whether that's legal or not, but that definitely is what happened and why he did it. And you're breaking down crying because belatedly, after being able to be president for 4 years, he might suffer some minimal legal consequences.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what he's choosing to shed tears for. Okay. We're gonna get to one more awful response, but I was looking for the dumbest response to all of this. Who had the dumbest response to Donald Trump facing these indictments? And I think in this case, I gotta give it to Pete Hegseth. Take a look at this.
Do you remember the mugshots of Elvis and Frank Sinatra and Johnny Cash and Jimi Hendrix and Mick Jagger? Turned them into even bigger icons than they were. If there's a mugshot of Donald Trump, it'll be in dorm rooms and on t-shirts, making him a hero or an anti. No, it will. And rightfully so, because he's become a symbol of what elites and those obsessed with power are willing to do when they have that power.
That is among the dumbest things I've ever heard in my life. As dumb as there's the right winger who's always like talking about memes or whatever. He tweeted, they just made him Tupac. I don't, you know what? I don't think we're gonna see that. I don't think we're gonna see, or if there are Trump mugshots on dorm room walls, I think there's gonna be a healthy dose of irony there. I don't think it's gonna make him cool. And as much as all of that is just, that is a guy speaking, but what he's doing is just bowing down before Trump. I wanna say whatever gets me noticed by you. The idea that what we're seeing right now is what elites do when they have too much power, what they're willing to get away with. Can we all remember what this is? Donald Trump was a reality show dude with a lot of money who decided he wanted to have an affair a couple of months after his wife gave birth. And so he did it, not thinking about or caring about the consequences. And then when the time came for him to run for office, he had so little respect for his potential voters that he didn't want them to know who he actually was. So they organized this complicated hush money thing so that they would be ignorant of who he really was. That is what a rich person did with the power, influence, and money that they had. Not the fact that there might be some consequences for that. Bert, what do you think?
All the people that Pete Hegseth hath listed would have kicked Trump's ass.
100%.
They would have absolutely hated the guy. And this is not just, you mentioned two people. Glenn Beck also went on Tucker Carlson's show and went full like MAGA hat wearing. And he said, this makes Trump not a person anymore. He says, this makes Trump, quote, a symbol of the average everyday guy that keeps getting screwed. To be screwed, it's yes. So he screwed Stormy Daniels, allegedly. Yes,
allegedly.
But the average everyday guy, it is fascinating to me that these folks think that Donald Trump represents or cares or would even like them at all if they weren't clapping after people said his name.
Yeah.
That's it. They don't care. They don't care about you. And it's, we have them all on record having hated the guy. And no normal everyday person goes through that experience that Donald, no one wakes up in the morning and is like, oh my God, I'm getting indicted for hundreds of thousand dollars in campaign finance fraud, in hush money. No one goes through that. I hate to break it to you. It is the ultimate exaggeration of the delusion that everybody's just a temporarily inconvenienced millionaire.
No, I get your left-wing fake news perspective, but it's of my view that if they can get Trump for having your fixer take out a home equity loan to pay off a former adult film star that you had an affair with, that you then pay back in a series of tens of thousands of dollar payments to conceal the source of the money, if they can get him for that, they can get anyone for that.
It sucks. I did that this morning before the show.
So stupid.
Now I'm on record.
Now they can get anybody. Anyway, okay, we have to take a break. I am debating whether we're gonna do this last reaction. It is very spicy, but we literally have only been talking about this. Although in our defense, it's historic. So stay tuned to find out after this. Finally got a dragon noise. Okay, let's jump into this. Oh my God, there's no time. Donald Trump is due to be formally indicted, have the actual charges, all that information read next Tuesday. And there is a chance that there will be protests. I don't know if a lot of people are gonna show up, but I do know one person who's planning to, Marjorie Greene, who tweeted, I'm going to New York on Tuesday. We must protest the unconstitutional witch hunt. No word yet on why exactly she feels she should be able to go protest in New York under her national divorce. We keep our values to ourselves and we don't pollute the other states, but she's making an exception for herself in this case. By the way, that's not all that she has said about this. She tweeted, Democrats' policies are so bad that they're relying on their heroine, who is too old and disgusting to make money as a porn star now. So she's grifting off her lies about Trump. And I read that just to remind everyone that she really is uniquely gross as a human being. She is a congresswoman. And that is generally how she communicates. And then there's a lot of other stuff. She also says Democrats want civil war. To be very clear, no, Democrats do not want civil war. They're not calling for civil war. They're not threatening civil war. They're not joking about civil war. All of that communication comes from the Republicans. And I love that they hide their murderous impulses behind the concept of civil war, as if there are two sides that want violence. There very much are not. The only people who ever talk about literal death and destruction or routinely rampage through government buildings trying to overturn the results of elections is just the one side. And after all of this stuff about how supposedly Democrats want civil war, you'll note from her Twitter account, she's not telling people to be peaceful. And she is going herself to the protests on Tuesday. Brett, what do you think that's gonna look like?
Is the language of an abuser that's like, why'd you make me do this? Like, no, you're the one hitting. No one made you hit. And it is for the party of personal responsibility, they're projecting all of the responsibility onto people who are just doing things that you're supposed to do under the system of government and justice we had. They aren't running to the streets with pitchforks to arrest Donald Trump. They asked the grand jury, should we indict Donald Trump? And then they said, yeah, that makes sense to do. The grand jury wasn't a bunch of Democrats from you know, the currently holding office. It's just a grand jury. And she wants to take to the streets because they're just jonesing for it. And I understand, because they lose so goddamn much. That's the problem. They lose so much. The way they win is while still losing. Most recent Republican presidents did not get the most votes in the national voting. They have to use the electoral college to win, which is not, when we say democracy, what we mean. They already, in order to claim power and victory, need to contort the definitions that most people would assume apply in the situation of voting for stuff. She is so sad, she's so dumb. And if people wanna take to the streets, why don't you take to the streets for something that makes sense? Why are you taking to the streets for someone who is advocating for tax cuts for him and not you? Why are you going to the streets for someone who is against democracy? Someone who is paying hush money payments out of the cash that essentially you gave to them, to him.
Yeah.
Why are you doing that? And I understand there's other people out there who hate the establishment and are working in progressive, smart ways to change things about it to make your life better. Just open your ears and eyes and realize that every time Trump takes a dollar from you, he's putting it in his own pocket or in the pocket of someone so that they don't speak up about how corrupt and terrible and fraudulent he is.
Yeah. Yeah. She's going to be protesting in defense of Trump. Boebert was making a public spectacle about public urination that wasn't even based in truth.
So
when I think about like what on the other side, like AOC protested outside of Pelosi's office over the Green New Deal. Cori Bush protested outside of the Capitol to protect people who were to be thrown out of their homes during a pandemic. Like these things could not be more different. Okay, let's move on to other news. We are not in fact going to do a full hour on only that one story. We're gonna move on to our C block right now and jump into this whenever ready. After what feels like years now of nonstop legislative attacks against the trans community, which do continue, we finally have a bit of pushback. With Senator Ed Markey and Representative Pramila Jayapal introducing a quote transgender bill of rights in the House and Senate just in time for Transgender Day of Visibility. As of right now, there are 5 co-sponsors of the legislation in the Senate, 101 in the House, and here is what it's designed to do. The bill is a resolution that calls for the federal government to assure transgender people certain rights, including protections from discrimination. The resolution calls for Congress to add gender identity and sex characteristics to the Civil Rights Act of 1964. And federal education laws to protect against discrimination. It includes considerations for rights concerning healthcare, calls for measures that protect trans people from discrimination in healthcare, an end to government restrictions on access to gender affirming care for both young people and adults, an expansion of telehealth, and other measures protecting providers of gender affirming care from violence in the workplace, as well as calls for increased mental health and suicide prevention services for trans and non-binary people, a ban on conversion therapy, and improved procedures for LGBTQ plus immigrants seeking asylum. So this is what we have from the Democrats, this Bill of Rights, which you know, we have to be honest, obviously is not going to pass the House, but still good that they're doing it. And then on the other side, if you take a look at this map that Axios put together, this is anti-trans legislation. This is the difference in bills from one year to another. And you can see in some states like Texas, 57 bills. Texas does not even have a full-time state legislature. And they found time to do dozens and dozens of bills specifically trying to curtail the rights of the trans community. That's just in Texas. There are dozens and dozens more scattered across the country. Brett, what do you think?
I think it is right to add these kinds of protections to the bill, to the civil rights bill. I think it makes absolute sense because that really encapsulates what most decent human beings want, which is just equal protection under the law. Laws against discrimination based on your personal identity, who you are as a person. That sounds very fundamental and very understandable. Now, since nobody can disagree with that, and if they do, they're just horrible. They're just being a jerk. Because most people look at that and go, yeah, it makes sense that we don't discriminate based on race or religion. We should expand that so we just don't discriminate, all right? Because that's such a slam dunk argument, they try to pick out like things that are wedge issues so that they can also fulfill one of their other main goals, which is to have two traditionally disenfranchised groups fighting against each other. That's why they bring up like parents' rights and cis women versus trans women and all of that. When we should just say like, yo, let's just protect everybody. Cool, cool, let's do it. This is America, right? Still, yeah, let's do that. But instead, they want women to cis. They want the category of women to be at war with itself. And that's pretty much, if you fall victim to that kind of framing, you're making a grievous mistake that jeopardizes the no-brainer, which is just general protections for people so that they don't get discriminated against based on who they are.
Yeah. When you actually look at like that map, we know that propaganda is a powerful force. We know how much money goes into it. You know, and it's easier for us to, I think, focus on the right wing because it's so clear what's happening at Fox News and in independent right wing media. But the fact that they have convinced people, millions of Republicans, to accept that what you just saw on that map is reasonable. These people who fundamentally believe that they are being left behind and ignored But then when they see all of this happening, attacking the trans community, they don't think that that's how they're being ignored by their own politicians. That is some powerful propaganda required to produce that. Okay, that's all the time for our first hour. Thank you to everyone on the linear platforms and on the podcast. But there's much more to come in the aftermath. We'll see you in just a few.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.